possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. It's Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, the great Evan Jenkins. And hey, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes, Google Play Store, all that different stuff. And of course, download us at odyssey.com. Our podcast here, Bustin' Balls. You've already seen the logo if you're watching this. You know it's the best logo in the history of podcasts. You know,
it's pretty
check
good.
Us out, like us, and subscribe to us. So you got to admit it is. You just want to squeeze. I mean, that's the only thing I'm going to say about it. And it's great to be with you. We do our podcast about drafts, prospects, and the future on all the sports. This week, we're going to focus in on the Tigers, whose offseason is now about to begin. In earnest, you got the general managers' meetings. The new GM, Scott Harris, discussed some things with the writers out there. And, you know, we're trying to figure out where the Tigers are going to go and where they're at. And I'll say this, you're already seeing some prospect hype. And the new one is Colt Keith. He's the new one. He's been appointed, because he played in the Arizona Fall League and held his own. He had a good year as a 20-year-old. Playing at a relatively high level in West Michigan before he got hurt. And now he's 245 pounds and ready to throw around Taylor Decker in addition to hitting a bunch of home runs.
Wait, are you being facetious? Is he really 245?
Yeah, that's what the reports are. He signed at 211.
Oh, my God.
So, and my impression of him, first of all, is one hand you can say he's a beast. Right, he's 245 and he's strong. He hit his first home run in the Arizona Fall League and it went 460 feet. All right, which was 10 more feet than Alvarez's home run for the ages in the World Series. And it was further than the home run that Riley Green hit that everybody was genuflecting about when he hit it and he pulled it. So he's obviously got power. The question I have looking at him, truthfully, is he put on too much weight? You know, there's a balancing act there when somebody's that young, weighing that much and playing baseball. But obviously, the $538,000 that they used to sign him to keep him away from college as their second fifth-round pick in the limited draft in 2020 looks good right now. But is he their top prospect? I would probably go with Jackson Job, actually. So, but both of those guys are far away. They're just potential, and how are they going to help him this year? And they got a number of prospects that did well at the lower levels of the minor leagues, made their advancement. Roberto Campos, who, you know, us minor league aficionados have been talking about forever, actually did okay last year in A-ball, where we finally saw him. You know, he's still like 19 years old. What I liked about him is he showed some power and that, but he had a little discipline. You know, he walked 40 times. Manuel Segura, who we talked a lot about, showed a lot of power. He's a shortstop who could play third base type. I thought he was very good last year. That power flashed at a very young age. In difficult places, did home runs. But I'll say this about Segura. He has to have plate patience. He can't walk, you know, 20 times in that many at-bats. And Isaac Paredes, Pacheco, not Paredes, Pacheco, is somebody that Isaac Pacheco is somebody that could be a pretty good player. I got him mixed up with the other guy, you know, that they traded for Meadows, Isaac Paredes. Isaac Pacheco, he is somebody that could be a pretty good player. His numbers were good. He's a big guy. He's not a middle infielder, I can tell you that. He's got hands of stone in the infield.
It's a good
feature.
But
I'll say that, yeah, it's not, but he may be somebody that can move over to third. And for a big guy, Evan, he moves well. And he's got a swing that sprays the ball a little bit, but he has power. I like him a lot. So, but those guys are younger. And where it's all going to head, you know, when you're talking about their draft pick with Young, you know, how is he going to progress? You know, he didn't do that well his first year out for an experienced college player, actually. And Peyton Graham, who they took in the second round from Oklahoma, has a lot of speed and athleticism. He didn't do particularly well. So those lower level guys, there's some potential there. There's some athleticism. There's some proven track record, you know, some of them at the college level. But I'm not expecting their minor leagues to give them a big influx here on the hitting side. But I don't see somebody up, you know, everybody talks about Kreidler and some of those others that we discussed in the past. I don't see it. What I see is the possible improvement of Spencer Torkelson, who, let's face it, that was awful. All right? It was painful.
Like historically right? bad if you look at WAR purposes for a number one or first overall pick in their first season. Like historically bad.
Yeah, and but he was a little better when he came up later. And he's a big league athlete, Evan. His sprint speed actually is better than Riley Green's. I don't think people are aware of that. And his contact, when he makes contact, he hits the ball very hard. In the top 25-30% when it comes down to exit velocity, maximum exit velocity. But he has to learn to lift the ball so that exit velocity transfers into extra base hits and home runs. And also, he can't let so many fastballs go by, lose it in the count, and you know, end up being lost late in the at-bats and not really having a chance. He was a very confused hitter by the entire process of, you know, playing in the major leagues. Now, the question is, and we talked about it a lot with him, can he start hitting, you know, a fastball that's a little bit better than a mediocre one and hit it hard, and can his approach at the plate get better? And obviously, Scott Harris, the first thing he talked about was strike zone management. And one of the players on the opposite end of where Javi Baez is, swinging at pitches like 3 feet outside all the time, is Spencer Torkelson letting some nice fatties go by and then swinging at bad pitches because he's down in the count. And Riley Green also had that issue, I thought. Where he, after he drew a lot of walks when he first came up, then he got behind in the count 0-1 too many times. And then he went into a bit of a lull before bouncing back a little bit at the end of the year. And I think Riley Green has a definite upside. I'm expecting a breakout year from him. I think he was put off track by that foot injury. Never really showed a complete profile of his power. But everything with him is above average and high. Jump rate in the outfield, arm strength started to show at the end of the year. His foot speed started to raise up a little bit. You know, he's in the top 40% sprint speed. And his exit velocity numbers when he is good. The only thing he has bad is contact rate. And that's real bad. So as time goes on, I'm seeing Riley Green to develop. And I think he's a more advanced prospect, obviously, than Spencer Torkelson. But the Tigers desperately need one or two of those guys to emerge as a genuine impact player, put up some really good numbers, and not just be prospects at this point. Now, that's obvious. And Green's a left-handed hitter, and they need that.
Pat, now, when you look at, like, NFL, for instance, when you get a new regime, new GM, so on and so forth, they look at other players that were drafted before they were there, and they almost become expendable. Do you think – how many untouchables are there with the Tigers with their young players? Like, would you expect Scott Harris to maybe try to move some of those young guys into something that fits him more so than what's there? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do. I do. There's a, like he said, he needs a left-handed hitting infielder and a right-handed hitting outfielder, all right, to kind of fill, because Bedu's left-handed, Green's left-handed, Carpenter's left-handed, Meadows is left-handed, and all those things. So he stated kind of the obvious without telling you what he was going to do. And, you know, I'm flashing through and I look and people are putting free agency lists. There's no fits in the free agency for that, but there are trades. All right. And the great undoing of Al Avila ultimately was the bad signings of Javier Baez, Eduardo Rodriguez, the trade for Tucker Barnhart, even though it really didn't cost him much more than a little bit of money. And the Meadows deal blown up in his face. That was the first kind of value for value deal that he made to get a veteran player. And the other part was, when did he make a trade that wasn't involving selling off a young guy, you know, to get a veteran guy? They were always getting the young guys, right, in the deals. In this particular case, some of the prospects that they may not be that enamored with, all right, after their evaluation period, and, you know, they're hiring biomechanical professors or whatever from Iowa, and, you know, their new minor league guys come in. Looking at it, when they do the bottom line thing about it, there might be somebody that somebody else likes that they'll move for a player that they look at. You know, the evaluation of major league players who aren't necessarily doing great, but have some upside that they see. And that can fit into something that they can do with it. So I'm expecting minor league guys to be traded for some major league guys, not older major league guys, but younger major league guys who may not be a fit somewhere else.
So like other teams' fringe players, you're thinking?
No, I'm not thinking fringe players, Evan. I'm thinking players that if they get, you're going to think they're fringe players. But when they actually put them on the field, they're better than that.
Gotcha.
That's how teams build up, very good teams. They don't. It's not about getting some free agent all the time for extra money. It's about getting different players from different places.
So this isn't going to be Mike Ilitch's Tigers, is what you're trying to say?
Well, I don't think so. Mike Ilitch, that was, you know, the old school way, and he was in a position where he could do everything to try to pay for a championship and do things. And ultimately, when it fell apart, it made the rebuild a lot more difficult. But yeah, he was in a spot where it made sense. And if you notice Dave Dombrowski, the general manager that moved on there, he goes to places where they still have a chance. And then he builds up a team with that.
This is more like
what the Giants did, you know, after they won their last World Series, you know, that type of thing.
Okay.
And it's more like you've seen with franchises like the Atlanta that build up, the Cubs, where Harris worked before he went to the Giants. And that's kind of the model for what you're going to see here, I think. So you're going to see a lot more focus on, you know, well, we always talk about analytics and fans. I mean, they really have a lot of issues, like with what does that mean? And Al Avila did invest, and Chris Ilitch did invest in analytics, but their analytics weren't working. I mean, it's one thing to have an analytics department. Everybody has one now. and has a pretty good sized staff. It's another one to have it be effective.
Right.
So I think he's brought in some folks that may make it more effective. I don't know why they have so many arm injuries with their pitchers and why their hitters get all askew, not only at the major league level, but also at the minor league level. And that trickles down from analytics to coaching. And there's still that old school part of coaching. You know, it's not gone away.
Right.
Scouting hasn't gone away. It's just different now. And applying everything to building to a winning team at the major league level is the key. So that process is just starting here. But they have a lot more ways. And the other thing, too, is they have to get better at getting players from Latin America. Amateur players, like, and they got a couple here with Campos and Segura, and I don't know, some would say Christian Santana and some others. But where, you know, power arms, you know, Soto's been the only one that's come through. But if you look at the Astros, look at those guys.
Oof.
You know, Brian Abreu. I mean, how many people talk about him? He gets out there, man, and he's just mowing down.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Down, you know, some really, really quality major league hitters. And then they bring in Rafael Montero. Nobody talks about Rafael Montero. Astros don't win without those two guys. So, and Valdez, that pitcher that's so good. You got to get players from Latin America, and you've got to get power arms that can fill out your bullpen. If there's a lesson that the postseason tells you, is you have to have power arms and relievers that can come in. So the big key for him, too, is to build a bullpen. And their bullpen last year, people said, well, it's a strength, until they actually had a lead.
Right.
Every time he throw Jimenez out there with a lead, he just kind of folds. Soto, same thing. The only one that really was super solid that way with the power arm was Alex Lang. And he's got to get a number of pitchers like that. And Alex Lang was a former first-round pick. He was terrible in the minor leagues with the Cubs. They got him as the second guy in their deal for Castellanos. And now he's one of the better, you know, pitchers on their team. You got to find a lot of guys like that. And that's the key to being a real good general manager as part of this whole process.
Now, it's kind of funny that you mentioned the power arms, because you're right. When Dave Dombrowski was here, that's what we heard about, was the amount of power arms that they have. Why do you think that they went away from that more so to what they have? Do they, would you say they're more finesse pitchers now, or is it just?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, Jimenez is kind of on the borderline of having a power arm. Soto's got a super power arm.
Right.
Very few pitchers that are nasty stuff is Soto.
And he was a draft pick for the Tigers, right? Soto, Gregory?
Yeah, but when you hand the ball to that guy, he's got to throw strikes. He's got to have a clue of what he's doing. It's not only getting the power arms, but getting the most out of the power arms. And being patient through the minor leagues and developing, right. When do you make him a reliever? When do you make him a starter? When do you bring him up? You know, how do you push him? You know, all those different things. I don't think the Tigers have had a particularly good touch with it. Now, there's a little bit of good news here with that front. It's obviously they have some good arms, right?
Yes.
Bo Brisky, you know, was good. They brought up that kid Hill, and he misses a lot of bats. I don't know how, but he does. They have some power arms they brought up, and you saw. I mentioned Lang. And some others that have been in their system. And obviously they drafted pitchers early like Manning and Scooble and Mize. Problem is the durability factor with them, and they're starters. It could be something with Ty Madden. Ty Madden did very well. You might hear him ring the bell for the major leagues this year. He was a pick from Texas who pitched so well, and they changed his delivery to now he throws more three-quarters. So he can throw a fastball that kind of stays up in the zone rather than a downward plane. He's got a pretty good slider. And when they moved to the next level, he was fine. He strikes out more hitters than any pitch by a pretty good margin. He's very poised. I was impressed with him. Dylan Smith, who was a third-round pick out of Alabama a couple years ago, he's not either. You know, not as advanced as Madden. He wasn't as good a college pitcher. Madden was one of the best in the country at Texas. But he's pretty good, and he has a chance. But none of these guys are those gas ballers, man. These, you know, bring them out there other than Lang, you know.
Yeah.
So, and Soto. So you got to find those guys, develop those guys. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, somebody like Jason Foley, who actually does have one of those power arms, can prosper here. Because that's the type of guy you need, but he has to be more consistent and better than what he's been, because he throws really hard like that. That's a big key. The other thing is they need a catcher. They got a right-handed hitting catcher in Haas who hits lefties well, but they need a left-handed hitting catcher and somebody who can field, that can do what Barnhart was, you know, at least a reasonable fact, so he's supposed to do. You know, and that's something that hasn't been addressed. And he has to make a decision on players like Candelario and others. Somebody like Willie Castro. Willie Castro is a very fast runner and shocked the world when he went into the outfield because he couldn't throw the ball from short to first.
Right.
Throwing sinker balls. He had one of the, you know, top 15 arms in baseball last year in terms of velocity. Playing outfield. And yet he's out there, you know, balls hit right at him, and he does three circles around and catches it. And then people go, well, that's great athleticism. No, it's not. The ball would have come right to him. So, and there's other things they got to do. You know, you got to clean up the way they run the bases. It's got to be an emphasis on fundamental baseball, not running out of innings. You know, Riley Green, he's got a lot of kudos for diving catches where he didn't have to dive. As good an outfielder as he is. I mean, some of those catches are brilliant. I'm not saying he's not. Yeah, I loved him as a prospect, but he dives for everything. What the hell is that? You know, there's just a lot of things that's, you know, I would notice that maybe watching all the games and everything and having seen 5 zillion games down through the years that I see that they just do wrong, and they're going to have to clean that up. And it starts with what they're doing with their kids in the minor leagues. And they've got to figure out a way to keep their pitchers healthy. You know, it's like back in the day, they had like one roving pitching coach.
Yeah.
And their pitchers didn't get hurt nearly as much. Now they've got like 18 analytics guys and 50 pitching coaches. I'm not exaggerating, obviously. And all they do is come up with lame arms.
Does that have something to do with the kids trying to throw maybe harder than what they actually should?
You know what? That's a great question, you know, because like all, you know, the baseball wackos out there, I look at, you know, videos, all kinds of videos.
Yeah.
And you always see these kids, they got the little box there and they've got the radar gun there and they're just, you know, flinging it down there to get hard. But these are young kids. The kids, the players that are in the major leagues, they're not doing that. Or players that are in the minor leagues, they're tending to their arms like they're, you know, diamond studded fine art or something. And I don't have any idea what biomechanically they're doing wrong. I just know that they're doing it wrong. And there are certain things that can help them biomechanically. Like, for example, what I said about Spencer Torkelson. When you have somebody that hits it hard, but they don't hit with a lot of power deep on certain type of pitches, there are some things you can do and really look at that can help that player get that lift without being one of those, you know, trying to launch everything and, you know, like Javi Baez swings sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the big trick, you know, a lot of those different things, but I don't know what they're doing with their pitchers. I just know it's wrong. And they did do their due diligence when they signed Mize. You know, people are ripping, hey, that draft pick wasn't so good. Everybody's town loved it.
And
everybody loved the Torkelson pick. So.
I feel like every team in baseball would have taken Casey Mize. I felt like that was one of those drafts that you just knew he was going 1-1.
I'm not so sure.
Really?
You know?
Oh.
I talked about it a lot at the time. And, you know, I guess got severe blowback, you know, from fans. That
everyone.
Really
no, you're him. Right. Everyone in Detroit wanted him.
Because he got so much notoriety. And, Evan, we always have this issue with the national guys. You know, we talk about it sometimes in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But it's especially true in the MLB draft. If they're mentioned in a prominent level by some national guy. And there was this thing with Keith Law, you know, going on and on and on about Casey Mize. Oh, the split finger pitch. Like it was a magic bean.
Like he was Mariano Rivera reincarnated.
No, it was more like a combination of Roger Clemens, Jack Morris, and Bruce Sutter. And it was so ridiculous, you know. And don't take it wrong, man. I know Keith Law has taken some shots at me in social media, which I thought were kind of hard because he knows nothing about me. And I could tell based on those shots at me in social media. But I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, really, man? You know, he said that it's too bad they can't trade the number one pick and you know, to the Yankees so he can help the Yankees in the postseason run. And I'm like, really? All right, this is a kid whose last five starts, and four of them, was lit up for an ERA over 7 by SEC teams and everyone. The only game that he pitched well was against Army in the tournament, and one of the Army kids hit this big 400-foot home run off him, and I looked it up. Army hit 10 home runs the entire year. So I'm sitting there looking at him like, you know, he lost. At first, he was brilliant. He was throwing 97. He's dropping that split finger. And the other thing, too, about a split finger pitch, it's a recipe for, you know, forearm issues and then issues and Tommy John surgery. That's why they don't like to teach the pitch like they used to. It's fine if you're Clemens. It's fine if you're Jack Morris and you're some superhuman athlete. And those guys manage to get through it. But it's not good if you're – for most pitchers.
Right.
So – and he already had some forearm tightness when they drafted him. But they put the K jacket on him and looked at it very closely. He was flying open on his delivery, and they corrected that. And they had him, you know, not flying open like that, pushing toward the plate. They took their time with him, even though he was brilliant. And he was, he come on to be a terrific. He was their best pitcher in 2021. He was really good. But the problem is that, you know, that injury thing came up, which comes from the splitter. And he didn't become great because he had a plus splitter that he improved so much. It's because he improved his fastball command and learned how to work in the zone. And then it would set up his splitter a little more. But the way they talked about him in the draft, he could just throw a splitter and Bryce Harper would just go, oh, my gosh, I've never seen any. Those major league hitters, they look at split finger pitches and they spit at them. You know, they really do. You got to throw your fastball over for it. They have a super changeup that you see. And that's all a splitter does, basically a changeup. So it's thrown with a Vulcan grip, and it puts a lot of strain on the elbow. And that's what happened. So, yeah, I knew that before half. Now, who should have taken? Joe Hart, that San Francisco took? You know, Scott Harris is a part of that.
Yeah.
It took him a while to get into the major league because of Buster Posey. And the jury's still out on how great he's going to be. Jeff, an Indian Rookie of the Year, he's a fifth pick. And he ripped a couple shots off of Kate Myers from the University of Florida. He was really good 1 year, and the next year not so good. You know, so he's been up and down. And legal issues, you know, that had sprung up with him. So there weren't a lot of great players there. All right? So, you know, the Myers pick was fine. I didn't have any problem, but I knew it wasn't a surefire thing. And it's the same with Torkelson. Oh, it became a big name, and you know, then Jim Callis. I love Jim Callis. He worked at Balmerica, where he does this pipeline thing, and I used to come up every other week. Is my Tigers organizational report in? I used to do the top prospects for that, and I love Jim. And he was talking about Torkelson as special, and I'd hear like Jim Bowden talking about how the bat sounded different off his bat in practice. Those things don't mean squat. Okay, yeah, with all due respect to Jim Bowden, those guys are terrific. I like Keith Laws. I would recommend people who live it, you know, to read his book. And I read him. Yeah. So it's not like him. All right, understand that. But that premise that he, you know, was ridiculous. And the national guys do that. All of a sudden, guys, especially because in baseball, they don't know the prospect very well. That's what the purpose of this podcast, Evan.
I agree.
Try to be a little more informed about things that comes right down. So, mine is, I don't think it's as bad as people think with the Tigers. I do think that they can be a pretty competitive team with a couple tweaks and moves. And I think those tweaks and moves are going to come from Trey. I know people want to say, who are they? Well, if you want to look at the list, it's easy to kind of look at it and say there's nobody out there. Organizations find players, identify them, and hunt them and get them. They're finding them. And some of the biggest moves are often the subtlest moves. And the obvious move isn't always the one that we saw it last with Austin Meadows. I didn't think the Tigers were giving up anything at ESAC for 80. Still really don't. I mean, but he's proved, you know, heck, he can hit with power that I never thought he'd have. So evidently somebody in Tampa who knew what they were doing and had a good line on him figured it out. So, and everybody their own analytics, they got their own way of doing them. And it's everybody has them now, okay? So it's not just having one, it's having an effective one. And the good thing about Scaris and some of the people that he's brought in, they're impressive resumes. Is they had experience of being able to do that. He's getting was far the coverage for what I was expecting for the Tigers. I thought they'd get somebody that was an A.J. Hinch crony or something and bring him in, and you know, it'd be like A.J. Hinch would be the puppet or from the dugout. And that's the last thing they need, as good a man A.J. Hinch is. So, this is Matt J. Hinch in pretty much every way when it comes down to analytics and what the front office should do. And at the same time, you know, they should be a real good combination here with the Tigers back on track. And there are some instances there. But I'm telling you, it starts Green, and it starts with Torkelson. If those two guys are discernibly better and they're talented, that's going to make a lot of things go a lot easier for the organization in the future. Anyway, enjoyed the conversation, and we'll talk to you next time. Don't forget, download us at odyssey.com. Don't forget to go to the Apple iTunes store and subscribe to us. Very important to us. I love your feedback, too. We got all kinds of things. You follow Twitter. As long as it's here, follow us on Twitter. It's Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter. King of the KFC or whatever on Twitter until he gets banned for whatever reason. I don't know. And, of course, you can just listen to us every week. We appreciate it. Till next time, we'll see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.